Good morning and welcome to A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart on News Talk 1400 WDWS. For over 60 years, East Central Illinois' daily gathering spot for conversation, dialogue, and ideas. You can join in on the phone, online, or via a text. Our phone number is 217-356-9397. Email talk at WDWS.com. Or text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 217-351-5357. Now, here's Brian Barnhart.
And good morning, everybody. Penny for your thoughts here on this Wednesday, the 11th day of July of the year 2018. Glad you're with us on Penny for Your Thoughts, News Talk 1400. DWS, nice and sunny, nice and warm, 71 degrees here at our downtown studios at 15 Main. Glad to be along for the ride today, and we have a little bit of a tag team edition of Penny for Your Thoughts today. I'll be here the first hour, and then the last couple of years, I've spoken to high school students from around the state at a broadcast camp, which is put on by the College of Media over at the University of Illinois, and so I'm scheduled to speak starting at about 10:30 this morning. So Scott Beatty has graciously agreed to sit in for hour number two, so I can leave at the top of the hour and go speak to the young broadcasters-to-be. I always enjoy that. Love talking to young broadcasters. I was one of those at one point, and always eager to learn, and it's just interesting various backgrounds from around the state, get a chance to talk to them about sportscasting. Two things I always tell them, time and score. If you don't do anything else, give the time and give the score, and as often as possible. But that's my best advice for them. But till we take a lot of questions, do some breakout sessions and so forth. So I'll be doing that at 10:30 this morning over at the U of I campus. But Scott Beatty will visit with you in hour number two. Open line time here this first hour. A couple of the topics we will touch on, though. One, of course, the Supreme Court nominee had some calls about that. Also, Roe versus Wade, that's going to be a hot topic, although I think, and I've been doing some reading on this, and I am no legal expert, but I've just enough to be dangerous. I've delved into it a little bit. The big abortion rights issue that a lot of cases work off of, and that any that even come up, have to do with Casey, Planned Parenthood versus Casey, which goes back a few years. It came several years after Roe versus Wade. But Roe v. Wade's the one that keeps coming up all the time because it was kind of the original ruling. But it really, in a way, I mean, not totally, but it's kind of a non-factor because the Casey Planned Parenthood one is the one that, by a 5-4 decision a few years ago that involved David Souter and a couple of other justices that voted 5-4, that's the one that people aren't talking about much when it comes to any future rulings by the Supreme Court. Anything that gets to the Supreme Court, it takes a long time to get there. You don't just walk in, snap your fingers, and change the rules. So anyway, there's a lot of talk about that in national publications. May get into some of that. Also, going to talk about this fish kill up at Lake Iroquois. Most likely just a lake inversion, but we'll see. We'll talk with Will Brumlevy up in the Ford County Record, the editor up there with him for a couple of minutes here this morning. But busy first hour. We'll get to it. I'll be here for 1 hour. Scott Beatty will join me at the end of this hour and transition to hour number two on a Wednesday. We'll have Mark Chagnon on tomorrow in the second hour. And then Andrew Leopold over at the University of Illinois, professor. He's actually worked with Brett Kavanaugh on the Whitewater cases back several years ago. And we'll have him in studio on Friday for a while. That's just breaking news for you. Anyway, we'll come back with more. Get it started after this timeout on Penny for Your Thoughts. Stay with us. Degrees, downtown Champaign at 9:11 on Penny for Your Thoughts, News Talk 1400 DWS. Woods Basement Systems, they've been around in 1986. They were founded that year by Rick and Anna Lee Woods. And today, they're one of the largest foundation repair and waterproofing contractors in Missouri and Illinois, serving both residential and commercial clients. The Woods Basement Systems team, no matter what your concern for home or business, you can be confident that the Woods Basement Systems representative will have the expertise to diagnose the problem and offer the best, most cost-effective solution. It's been a long time since the company was founded in the Woods home, and today, with a 16,000-square-foot facility, 20-acre property for their production teams. They're there to help you. And, of course, they're concerned about any cracks you might have in your basement, crawl space, wall cracks. You got to watch out because you get moisture in there, you get mold, it comes in, the vapor barrier. I don't know how all that works, but it gets in there. And you want to take care of that. And two things happen, two things in common. Cracks get worse if you ignore them, and they keep stealing value from your home until that cause is fixed. So Woods Basement Systems, since 1986, 888-935-4333, or go to woodsbasementsystems.com, and not going to go away if you don't take a look at it, at least, and get a free estimate from Woods Basement Systems. Around since 1986, they've helped over 55,000 homeowners. Make sure you invite them in. We've got them coming to our home, by the way. We had some water issues, so they're going to check that out for us. We'll let you know how it goes. 356-9397 is the phone number today. You can text us. Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 3515-357, and you can email us, talk@wdws.com. Well, the Supreme Court nominee, Brett Kavanaugh, making the rounds on Capitol Hill, visiting with various senators. I saw he was with Mitch McConnell yesterday. Mike Pence was walking around, taking him around Capitol Hill yesterday. Meanwhile, the presidents arrived at the NATO headquarters in Brussels, first of 2 days with summit talks with allies there. And the president planning to press his counterparts to increase their spending on defense, having publicly criticized many European nations for failing to meet their commitments to the Mutual Defense Pact. And leaders of the alliance set to collect or talked about their collective readiness as well as the future of NATO's mission in Afghanistan and combating terrorism. Some people contend that NATO's kind of outlived its usefulness. Good alliance. We have good allies over there. But NATO was originally designed to kind of counter the Warsaw Pact, kind of each side with satellites and, in a lot of cases, the Soviet Union controlled basically. They were puppet states, maybe too strong, but they were under the thumb of Russia, Soviet Union at the time, in various places. So interesting, though. And part of it is the U.S. has picked up a lot of the cost ever really since the Marshall Plan right after World War II that came into being in the late 40s. I mean, the U.S. has shouldered a huge chunk of the burden for NATO and the United Nations and everything else, and I think the president's saying, hey, you guys need to pay more. We've shouldered this long enough, and I don't know if you agree with that or not, but or whether NATO's even still useful in this day and age. Seems to be, because Russia certainly has been more adventurous in different places, Crimea and so forth. Anyway, we're here visiting with you. Let's go to the phones now, and you can join us on the phone, the text line, or the email box. Let's go to Kent. Hey, good morning, Kent.
Good morning. How are you?
Good, sir.
Boy, gosh, there's just so much. As far as the NATO thing, I think it's definitely useful, but I think that it's kind of misleading when you say that, that the U.S. puts the bill. It's the U.S. taxpayer. We've gotten a tax cut. I think that Trump is trying to maximize the benefits of the financial burden, you know, is trying to distribute that burden so that it's not so punitive to the American taxpayer. Mm-hmm. He's looking out for our best interest when he says, when you say U.S., it kind of masks the idea that of what it is we're putting the bill on that, we're the taxpayers, and we're the ones. I think it's a great, great thing that he's doing. Another thing is that going to the Supreme Court. Kennedy couldn't have quit at a more opportune time, whether intentional or not, for the Republicans. You've got those 10 senators that are vulnerable. They're Democrats are up for election. What are they going to do? You've got a situation where if the Democrats slow walk it, I think there'll be an avalanche of Republican support in the primary, because that's what Trump ran on. That was one of his things when he put out his list of Supreme Court choices, and people loved that when he was campaigning. If they don't slow walk it, then the inevitable is going to happen anyway. It's just incredible. You go to bed and you wake up. It's a whole new, incredible news cycle. For me personally, being a news junkie, I enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
And thirdly, I'm going to be in Florida for the next 3 weeks. I've got streaming radio, so I'll be able to listen to you down there. So very grateful for that.
Well, where are you going in Florida?
Going to Englewood, Florida. Unfortunately, there's a lot of red tide down there right now, so I'm looking for freshwater fishing opportunities as opposed to salt.
All right.
Where I'm going doesn't have a real good real good circulation through that bay. There's no really fresh water streams running into it. It's just kind of along the intercoastal there, and it's pretty bad, but, you know, there's so much more to do. Got a bicycle, got a Y membership down there, and a whole bunch of stuff, so I'll be down there for about a month.
Well, good. Is that the west side or the Gulf side or the Atlantic side?
South of Sarasota, about 45 minutes.
Okay.
North of Fort Myers, about another 45 minutes, right down there in the middle of nowhere. No circuses, no amusement parks, just fishing, drinking, bicycling.
All right. Sounds good, Kent. Have a safe trip. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Great. I'll be listening. Thank you very
much. Thank you. It's Kent with us this morning. 356-9397 is how you can join us. Some people I've been reading, it's been interesting. And I think a lot of this, somebody compared it to arguing over how many angels are in the head of a pin, you know, which selection that the president made. Well, I like this one better than that one, but because this one maybe one time did this or ruled this way. I read one article, I think it was David French, wrote a column. He said the president missed an opportunity because if he'd have selected Amy Coney Barrett, the 46-year-old from Notre Dame, graduated from Notre Dame, College of Law there, and was Catholic, seven children, a woman, young woman at that. That would have made a really bold statement. Instead, he was contending that the president went with a safe choice, kind of the Washington insider. He's been on the D.C. Circuit Court for 12 years. He worked in the Bush administration. We'll see. I don't know. It's interesting once they make the choice, the differing opinions that kind of flow out of that in Washington, D.C. Let's go to Greg. Hey, Greg, good morning.
Morning, Brian. I kind of want to throw out there Justice Kennedy retiring. I kind of have this feeling that he wouldn't retire if he really believed that the Mueller investigation was going to result in the current president, I really don't see a Supreme Court justice retiring when, you know, if the country's in the danger that the Democrats and the media portray by a president who is a pawn of a foreign enemy. I don't think a Supreme Court justice would be stepping down, handing that president or pawn of a foreign enemy the ability to choose his replacement. I just don't see that happening.
Hmm. So he's doing it because he thinks Trump will be around a while?
Yeah, I think the Supreme Court justices, they probably have a pretty good idea as to where that investigation is heading. And I just have a feeling, I honestly don't think they would step down if they felt that the country was in any kind of danger.
I
definitely don't think that they'd give the choice of their replacement to the person who is supposedly putting our country in that danger. That the whole story don't add up.
I see.
You know.
Well, that's an interesting thought. I hadn't thought of that one.
Yeah, that's all I wanted to say.
All right.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks.
You have a good day.
You too. Thank you. Tag team edition of Penny for Your Thoughts today. I'll be here until 10. Then I'm going to go speak over at the University of Illinois College of Media to some high schoolers from around the state. So I'll need to leave, and Scott Beatty will take over at 10 o'clock after the news. And we'll be back with you tomorrow. We'll have open line time scheduled the first hour. Second hour, Mark Chagnon will join us. And then we'll have Andrew Leopold with us in the first hour. Professor over at the University of Illinois. He's actually worked with Brett Kavanaugh. We'll have him on the air at 9 on Friday. And then a lot of open line time in the second hour on Friday to close out the week. John in Champaign. Hey, John.
Hey, how's it going, Brian?
Good, sir. How are you?
I just want to say, very good. When the Marshall Doctrine came about, we were supposed to start all this with NATO and everything. And once they get stabilized, they were supposed to back us. Now, I will give Trump credit. He is right. they haven't backed us. So, you know, you got to have some kind of leverage to stand on now. We got you on your feet. You got to stand up and do the right thing. And the other thing is, with this pick, I think this is a good pick, and I think he's going to shock not only the Republicans, he's going to shock the Democrats too. It seemed like for some reason this man is going to be a man of his own. That's the way Kennedy was. Kennedy didn't go one-sided. He went both sides. So I think this is a good pick. I really do.
Well, you think it's a nice, safe pick?
Yes. Yeah. Now, I'd love to see the lady. I'd love to see her because stabilization there between the women of the Republican and the Democrats are right there. That would have been a beautiful pick. But a safe pick is Kavanaugh.
Yeah. All right. Hey, John, thanks for the call today.
Take care. Wish you luck at the meeting.
Yes, thank you. Looking forward to it. 356-9397. Like I said earlier, I get asked a lot of questions by young broadcasters-to-be. What's the most important thing we can do? What's the biggest thing you can tell us? I'd say three things. Be on time. Don't be late. Can't do that. The game's at 7. You can't show up at 7:10. You won't be working very long. And two, time and score. And the other thing, maybe if we want to add on, do your best. Always come across prepared. Do your very best. 9:23, and we'll be talking to those broadcast students later this morning. Talking with you right now, though, on A Penny for Your Thoughts, and we're back after this timeout. Stay with us.
Get caught up on the latest local news, sports, and weather on the DWS News Hour presented by ABC Heating and Air. Join us this afternoon at 4 here on News Talk 1400.
9:25 here at DWS. Penny for Your Thoughts. Glad you're with us. I'll be with you till 10. Scott Beatty will handle things. Deb Finan, the Champaign mayor, is going to drop by in the second hour with Scott. I'll be back with you after the first hour today, tomorrow morning at 9. Four reasons why people spend too much. Here are four reasons why you break your budget from Busey. Forgetting the future. Leave emergency savings for emergencies only. Instead, make room in your budget for discretionary expenses. Rewarding yourself too often. Mixing mood with money. Spend money when you're happy and positive, when it's easier to remember long-term financial goals. And bad home equity habits. Don't think of your home as a piggy bank. Be smart with your home equity loan or line of credit. Only borrow what you really need. And Busey says manage your finances whenever you want. Wherever you are with Busey's mobile and online services, Busey mobile app, Busey text, money management, Busey bill payment, regain control of your finances with Busey. Visit Busey.com, 1-800-67-BUSEY, or stop by one of their many convenient locations today. 356-9397 is how you can join us on the phone lines. You can text us, Castle Heating and Cooling text line 351-5357, or email us talk at WDWS.com. I'm going to talk with Will Brumlevy a little bit after the news. He's the editor of the Ford County Record, that Lake Iroquois fish kill that occurred over the weekend. All those fish on the surface. What happened? Talk to him about that for a couple of minutes. And then Scott Beatty will jump in with me. We'll transition to his hour coming up a little later this hour. By the way, the U.S. Ambassador to the World Trade Organization calling for the global trade body to update its rules to deal with complaints about Chinese industrial policies that he says harm other countries. That is lining up, of course, with more tariffs as well that the U.S. is talking about with China. So that has continued to be kind of ramping up as we go along. Also, a U of I professor wants the judge to make the rare move to forcing her bosses to give her a raise. That story our newsroom's been covering today. Also, sad to hear, after 7 years, Dublin's Irish Pub on its way out, just up the street here in downtown Champaign. The Dublin's general manager says the pub's last day will be July 28th. And you may have heard, if you heard Scott's show yesterday, DWS NewsHour visited with the First Lady of Illinois, Diana Rauner, hoping to put her mark on the restored governor's mansion for years to come. The 1855 mansion fell into disrepair, and Rauner oversaw a years-long private fundraising campaign to restore the structure. And several people have made donations to it, including the Rauners and including his opponent, J.B. Pritzker. Built in 1855, it's one of the oldest governor's mansions in the country. Most of the building is public space. There's an art exhibit, period rooms with Lincoln items and all sorts of things. So glad they've renovated it because I know, nobody could really live there, or at least didn't want to because of all the disrepair in the governor's mansion. And it was kind of a symbol of the mess the state was in. In the governor's mansion, you couldn't even live in it. And we'll see if what happens in the future with the state of Illinois. The state of Illinois has a long way to come back here from all the financial troubles they have, and we'll see who gets elected. J.B. Pritzker leading in a lot of the polls. But anyway, it'll be interesting to see. And I mentioned the tariffs real quick. Back to that for a second. Trump administration readying a new round of tariffs on $200 billion worth of Chinese goods. A list of thousands of additional goods that could face 10% tariffs released yesterday after the U.S. imposed 25% tariffs on Chinese goods worth $34 billion last Friday. So we're going from $34 billion last Friday to $200 billion potentially worth of Chinese goods. So the tariff war is escalating as we speak. All right, phone number again, 356-9397. You can text us, 351-5357. Email us, talk@wdws.com. We'll have our news update here with Tim Dittman, and then we will continue with more after the news on News Talk 1400 DWS.
A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart continues on News Talk 1400 WDWS. You can reach out to us on the phone at 217-356-9397, email talk@wdws.com, or text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line, 217-351-5357.
From the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli, we fight our country's battles in the air, on land and sea. First to fight for right and freedom and to keep our honor clean. We are proud to
It was on this day, 1798, U.S. Marine Corps officially established by an act of Congress. 1798, on this day in history, thus the Marine anthem there. 356-9397 is how you can join us on the phone lines. You can text us, Castle Heating and Cooling text line 351-5357, and email us talk@wdws.com here at 935. A couple of other things that happened this day in 1804. Aaron Burr, the former vice president of the U.S., mortally wounded former Treasury Secretary Alexander Hamilton in a pistol duel. Hamilton died the next day. And in 1955, U.S. Air Force Academy dedicated in Colorado Springs. Some of the things that have happened on this day in history, and not so serious, 1966, the Newlywed Game debuted on ABC on this date, 1966. We're on Penny for Your Thoughts. I've been talking a little bit about various things here this first half hour. NATO, is it really still useful? Because the president's over there in the summit saying, hey, you guys need to pick up more of the financial load. We've been doing this a long time. And is NATO still useful? The way the world has changed around us over the last 20 years. Since the fall of the Soviet Union, the reemergence of Russia, is NATO needed? But we'll see what they discuss and what goes on from there. I guess the president's supposed to meet with Vladimir Putin as well over there in, where is that, Brussels, I think, and then eventually meet with Putin in Helsinki, Finland. 356-9397 is the phone number. Will Brumlevy joins us, editor of the Ford County Record. And, Will, how are you today?
I'm doing good, Brian. How are you doing?
Good. You've been following the fish up there at Lake Iroquois. That was a strange story that happened over the weekend, right?
Yeah, strange smell up there too, is what I hear.
do they have a count on how many fish they lost? Any idea?
Jim Sherrill, who lives up at the lake, he's a member of their board, said that there's thousands, and they don't even know yet because some of the larger ones are still floating to the surface.
So the bigger ones take longer to get to the surface.
Yeah, that's what he said. Yeah.
So again, now this all occurred what, Sunday morning is when they found all this?
Yep. Yeah, it was Sunday morning, and then about 10 a.m. cleanup started, and they've continued ever since. They had workers out there, just volunteers, every day since then, and it continues today, actually. I talked to Jim Sherrill last night, and he said they're going to work till dusk today, and just like they did yesterday and the day before. And they said they're making significant progress, though, so that's good.
For people that don't know, Will, where is the Lake Iroquois?
It's located west of Loda, in southwest Iroquois County. It's right next to Bales Lake, where they have a country club, and it's just basically an unincorporated subdivision.
Mm-hmm. And the EPA, I guess, is doing some testing, but it looks to be like this might be just, what, inversion, with the water turned over?
Yeah, that's the theory right now. They haven't confirmed anything yet, but yeah, the IEPA came down and they took some large water samples, and Jim Sherrill said yesterday that they expect to have results back in a couple weeks.
Yeah, and part of this, I guess, and I my dad owned a fishing lake, still does, but I just hadn't really thought about lake turnover, and it was really, really hot, and then it suddenly got kind of cool all of a sudden.
Yep.
And I guess that's maybe what caused the water. Maybe the fish didn't get any oxygen or whatever.
Yeah, apparently it can cause like a tie-up in the oxygen levels. I'm not exactly sure the scientific part of it, but yeah, that's the way it was explained to me. And they are testing. The IPA is looking for, you know, any kind of chemical infiltration or anything like that. But the Lake Iroquois people are pretty sure that that's what happened, is this inversion phenomenon.
Will Brunlevy with us, Ford County Record editor, News Gazette Community Newspapers, part of our group here, and he covers the area up there. Now, they had not stocked it, right? They're going to be stocking it later,
yeah,
so that worked
out
okay.
That was actually kind of the silver lining to this whole thing, is that they sometimes stock it in the fall, sometimes in the spring, depending on what kind of fish they want and everything. But this year they had actually delayed that until the fall, so at least they didn't like lose a bunch of fish that they just put in. So they are planning on doing that this fall, and I know there was some talk about maybe doing a fundraiser, because there's the Lake Iroquois budget isn't they may not have enough to stock it to back to where it was, so they're looking at maybe doing some kind of fundraiser. They've at least considered it. And they don't know what kind of fish they're going to get yet, because they don't know what they're going to need. So it's kind of all up in the air at this point. But then their fishing derby, they do with the kids' fishing derby on August 18th. They're not sure if they can do that yet, because they don't know if the fish supply will be there. But they might do it at there's a smaller pond in the community that they can do it at if need be.
Now, was that pond, that's a little 5-acre pond, right?
Yeah, and it's not part of the lake. Okay. And apparently no fish died in that one. So, but they, there's options, there's no swimming allowed in the lake right now too, because, they just don't know what caused this. So you can boat, but not swim at the moment.
So I know it got everything from carp to bass, walleye, crappies, bluegill, everything pretty much.
Yeah. They said it didn't discriminate at all. It was just one weird thing that happened. I guess it happens fairly commonly, but it's, you know, obviously on this level it probably doesn't happen that often.
Yeah. Anyhow, how deep is that lake? Is it very deep?
I mean, I have no idea.
Okay. Yeah, you haven't waded out there to see. Yeah.
I'm not much of a swimmer, so.
So what'd they do with all the fish? I mean, they load them up. The volunteers clean them up.
Yeah,
right?
the volunteers they put them in like a dump truck or something, and they hauled them away to some proper disposal area, which I'm not sure where that is.
Hmm. Yeah, and I saw also you wrote in covering all this about the Department of Natural Resources could like test the health of the remaining fish. I guess, what do they call it, electrophishing or something?
Yeah, that Mike Johnson, he's another Lake Iroquois resident, had mentioned just the possibility of doing that. It basically involves kind of like shocking them to where they all float to the surface, and they can survey which ones are what species they are, their age, their just their health in general, and that way they can get an accurate count on what they have and what they need.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll That sounds like inversion, but officially we'll get the word, I guess, what, later this week or next week from.
Yeah, they said the results from the IEPA should be back over the next couple weeks, so it may not be this week. I'll be following up on it though for sure.
All right, hey Will, thanks for being on with us for a few minutes.
Yeah, I look forward to hearing you on the Illinois basketball game.
Well, looking forward to it. It'll be football and then basketball. We'll be hopping like crazy here shortly.
Yep, can't wait.
Thank you, Will.
All right, thanks, Brian.
Appreciate it.
All right, bye.
Will Brumlevy, Ford County Record editor, covering the fish kill up at Lake Iroquois from over the weekend. Back to the phones, down to Newman, to Scott. Hey, Scott.
Good morning, sir. With all the hysteria this week about SCOTUS, once again, I think there's two groups of people that just need to chill out. Roe versus Wade is not going anywhere. And even if it was overturned, all that would happen is it would go back to the states. And then the other group are the gun control people on both sides. Same thing, D.C. versus Heller and McDonald versus Chicago aren't going anywhere. And with the gun stuff, yeah, there's things that we need to lobby for and against from state to state. But I'm tired of those two issues being the central, you know, talking points or whatever of every election cycle.
Yeah, well, it does.
That's how I feel about it.
It does seem to be that way, and you're right. I mean, it's not like I think the perception is, or the way they raise money and different people. You know, they bring out, push a hot button, and say, you know, it's almost like the judge is going to get confirmed and walk in and snap his fingers, and it's all going to change. And it's like,
right?
Well, no, it doesn't work that way.
Besides,
the whole abortion issue is more Planned Parenthood versus Casey in Pennsylvania than anything else. But.
Right. Yeah, just the constant hysteria. And, you know, the NRA is terrible about it, you know, constantly sending things that, oh, my goodness, this law is going to be passed and it's going to be, you know, and it's like, just calm down. I don't know.
All right. Well, good point. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you. Take care.
Be careful out there. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back with more after this on Penny for Your Thoughts.
Hi, this is Jim Bohannon. Join us for the next Bohannon Show. Reporter Mark Ambinder has written The Brink, President Reagan and the Nuclear War Scare of 1983. Tonight at 9 on DWS.
Swanson Roofing, the roofing dog, selected as Small Business of the Year previously by the Champaign County Chamber of Commerce. Corey Swanson, of course, is a hands-on owner. He and his wife, Melissa. And they run the show there. Corey's a graduate from Rantoul High School, the University of Illinois. He and Melissa involved day-to-day, hands-on with all the jobs in the area on the roof. Roofing Dog Crew comprised of roofing professionals certified in roof installation. The crew receives 401ks and benefits. So they're incentivized to do a good job for Corey and Melissa and for you. And they've been with the company for many years. Swanson Roofing guarantees their workmanship for the lifetime of the roof, and the materials they use are guaranteed for 50 years. Even if Swanson Roofing did not do your roof, they are happy to come out and fix any problems you might face. So that's nice of them to do that. They don't have to do that, but they do. Swanson Roofing, the roofing dog, providing services in Champaign, Vermilion, Ford, and McLean counties. Get a free estimate. That's always good. Find out in the fear of the unknown. How much is this going to cost? Well, you may be surprised. Maybe you can wait a year or two. You don't know. Get a free estimate. Roofing Dog provides services again at 355-ROOF, 355-7663, or visit theroofingdog.com. Brian Barnhart with you this hour. Scott Beatty is going to jump in with me here for a few minutes. We'll transition to his second hour because I'm going to go speak to high school students from around the state over at the University of Illinois and talk a little sportscasting here on campus. Let's go to Zoe. Hi, Zoe.
Good morning, Brian. There's an interesting article I saw this morning. Trump eats NATO for breakfast, and it's really fun because he's pointing out that that NATO and specifically Germany is helping Russia expand their energy. They're, you know, helping them financially, and yet they're asking us for money to protect them from Russia. And Trump pointed out the hypocrisy of that.
Well, yeah.
Said, why are you helping them? You know,
and it seems to me too. In years past, and I forget who was helping who, but it seemed like France sometimes was helping Iran with their
uh-huh.
nuclear stuff. I mean, there was just
uh-huh.
all these under the table deals going around all over the
right place.
And
then they want us to pay for it.
Yeah.
And Trump, you know, all these people that claim he's so cozy with Putin, and it's a joke because he's calling out these people that are helping Russia. And so I'm just really enjoying this.
Well, he's got them all stirred up. Like I said, he would be the Bob Gibson for Cardinal fans as president. I mean, he throws the high hard ones in, you know, inside and close.
Yes, he does.
And people don't like that sometimes.
I do.
Yeah, a lot of people do. A lot of people don't. So that's why he's kind of a lightning
rod. I think it's what we need, and it's about time somebody did. Yeah. So thank you very much, Brian.
All right, have a great day.
Bye.
9:49 here on Penny for Your Thoughts, DWS. Scott Beatty is in here.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Good.
Can I drive the car? Can I drive?
You had the First Lady of Illinois on yesterday.
Yeah, I did. Diana Rowland. Yeah. She was nice to talk to. She's headed up this governor's mansion. I'm going to call it a commission. I don't know if that's the right term, but basically a committee and a group that's put together the mansion, and they've got all kinds of new spaces for the public that are going to be debuted on Saturday. So she was on to talk about that and asked her a little bit about life as a First Lady. Of course, the Rounders aren't, you know, political first. That, you know, this is a new venture for them. Mm-hmm. But, you know, she said all the things typical of a First Lady that, that part of being in politics means her husband is going to take some hits, and they know that's part of it, and that's all right.
You can hear the podcast of that. WDWS.com from the DWS News Hour. How long have you been hosting that show now?
Summer of 2015 was when I took over for our friend and former colleague Brian Moline.
Right.
So I'd filled in for him before that, but formally took over in July of 2015.
Yep. Well, see, Scott and I have something in common because A, we're both working here, but B, we were both minor league broadcasters, baseball broadcasters. And you broadcast where? Where did you do games?
The bulk of it, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, which is a great town. It's about the same size here as Champaign-Urbana, but the difference is it's the biggest city in South Dakota.
And we can both testify that you do not get rich doing minor league baseball.
No, and you try to find creative ways to get comfortable on a bus.
Yes, there's that.
I brought camping mats.
Yeah. Did you work alone?
Yeah, primarily.
So did I.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you've got 3 hours, three and a half,
yeah,
four sometimes, and it's all you.
Yep. Sometimes
4 hours.
Sometimes I had an intern that was trying to cut his teeth that would be along for some middle innings or that kind of thing, and would work something at home games. But it was, by and large, it was a solo show.
Yeah. It's funny because over the years when I would work games alone in the minor leagues, now when I got to the major leagues, I was working with a partner on air, so that made a lot of difference. And we had engineers, and of course with the Illinois games, we've got Ed Bond, and we've got Martin O'Donnell and Jerry Hester and Deion Thomas and Doug Altenberger. So there's all kinds of, which makes, you know, your life a lot easier. But when you're all alone night after night after night, and I know I would catch myself sometimes when I was doing minor league baseball, I'd be thinking, I wonder if anybody's listening to this. You know, if I say something funny here, is anybody going to catch it? You can't do that, obviously. But
well, and usually the broadcaster in the minor leagues is also the media relations guy. A lot of them are also selling ads and tickets and or doing the traveling coordination, traveling secretary, all that. And by the time I was doing it, I don't think it was the case when you were in the minor leagues, but, you know, you're also handling social media. So it's, all right, we'll be back. We go to the bottom of the fourth right after this. Now quickly turn to your laptop, type out a tweet, you know, and then you get a text from someone in the dugout, hey, the official scorer should have scored it this way, and you're thinking, you're handling a lot. By the time you get to where you've got an engineer or a producer and all that, it seems a lot easier. You can just focus on the game.
And for people that don't know, you were in the Marching Illini, right?
Yeah, 2 years in the Marching Illini, and
who was in charge then?
It was Tom Kaniva.
Okay,
he was the first that succeeded Gary Smith, who is still a legend. And then I stepped out because I was actually a music major. Go figure. Here I am, but and often music majors are so busy they don't have time for marching band. Marching Illini is a lot of folks that are really good musicians, but they're engineering majors, business majors, whatever, and it's kind of their outlet. You know, for a lot of music majors, it became, okay, this is my fifth rehearsal of the day because I'm in all these other groups, so it became almost too time-consuming. But it was a lot of fun. Went to the micronpc.com bowl, saw Kurt Kittner and crew and Josh Whitman beat Virginia handily.
When Kurt tried to throw the ball out of the stadium.
Yeah, I remember that vividly. Yeah. It was a great trip. Bust all the way down there, though.
You throw it over your head?
Yeah, well, no, we were on the sidelines, it was a great trip.
356-9397. Scott's with me here because he's going to take over after the top of the hour because I'm speaking to broadcast students over at the College of Media on the U of I campus. Deb Finan's going to come on. I see she's already here.
Yeah, we typically have a standing appointment on the news hour on this Wednesday of the month. What are we at? Second Wednesday of the month. And I said, hey, you want to come on Penny instead? She said, I'm glad to. Mm-hmm. So she's and she'll take calls. So if you got calls or comments for the mayor, she'll take them.
Yeah, she was just in D.C. for the they had the mayor's conference. The governor was out there when he made his misstep on what he said about champagne. And then she was also at the Supreme Court on the AFSCME Janus ruling. So you can ask her about that. So.
Yep, and visit Champaign County, I think, or Champaign County First was out there too for in D.C. So, yeah, a lot of things to catch up with her on.
Are you you're still doing the post-game show?
Yeah.
How many years on that now?
Same, three full seasons.
Three full seasons.
Bill Kubit's debut was my first post game show on the football side.
People tell me this all the time, and yeah, it's always it's interesting because as a play by play announcer, you know, you want to do your best no matter what the team is doing, but it sure helps if the team wins.
Yeah,
and it makes your job better if the team's winning. But a lot of times, if the team is struggling, the calls are even more interesting.
Yeah, it's actually usually more active when the team
loses
the
game they should have won.
Yeah.
That's usually what I found.
Yeah. Now, if the team is doing bad from the get-go of the season and it's a lost season through and through, the energy seems to die out towards the end. Mm-hmm. But if they're hanging around and there's glimmers of hope here and there, if somebody makes a bonehead, the Maryland game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We got a lot of calls after that one in basketball.
Yeah, that's what I found is the biggest people get the most upset if it's a game that was in the balance. You know, coach made a decision this way. I think he should have done that, or this player did this, and I thought he should have done that. If you win a game, you're supposed to win. Nobody's worried about it. If you lose a game, you're probably expected to lose. Nobody gets too worried about that.
Yeah,
but it's the ones in the middle that you get the most excitement.
So. Or if the team just plays so poorly.
Yeah,
you know. They lay a dud. They get embarrassed. Those kinds of things. Yeah. Those are the ones where the calls show up. Or if fans feel the coach is on the hot seat.
356-9397 will be the numbers. You can text Scott here when he takes over, 351-5357, or email us talk@wdws.com. Let me take a quick break, Blake. Come back and get it set up for hour number two, and then I'll get ready to take off in just a moment.
Get caught up on the latest local news, sports, and weather on the DWS News Hour presented by ABC Heating and Air. Join us this afternoon at 4 here on News Talk 1400.
Penny for your thoughts, DWS. We appreciate Will Brumley be coming on, talking about the fish kill up there at Lake Iroquois. Have some good details on that. Follow all that coverage in our News Gazette media outlets. Scott Beatty sitting in with me here for the last few minutes, transitioning to his taking over this second hour. I'll be back tomorrow. We'll have Mark Chagnon on. He was a long time at Unit 4, just retired. We'll talk about his views on the state of education today, dealing with young people all the time. He's also a motivational speaker. And then coming up on Friday, Andrew Leopold's going to join us over at the University of Illinois. And he's a gentleman who worked on the Whitewater investigation days from several years ago, about 20 years ago. He worked with Brett Kavanaugh, who's the new Supreme Court nominee. So we'll have him on in the 9 o'clock hour coming up on Friday. Some breaking news?
Well, kind of Tim Dittman just relayed that Kevin Anderson has pushed Roger Federer into the fifth set. He was down 2-0 in the quarterfinals for Wimbledon. So Kevin Anderson's never been to the semifinals. He's never beaten Roger Federer. Not many have.
I don't think he'd been in the quarterfinals ever before. I think
Yeah, you're right. First would be on both sides of that, but Kevin Anderson, and I'd still take Roger Federer in a fifth set, but this is pretty cool to say you've taken him to a fifth.
No matter what happens
from here.
Yeah, I was talking to Brad Dancer a little bit, and Brad was getting some vacation time in, and he said, now if he gets past Federer, I may have to go over and see him. But we'll see. But
If I have to go to London and watch Wimbledon, I will.
Yeah, he got hit pretty hard. I've always wanted to go there and see that.
Oh, it's on my bucket list.
That's for me for sure. All right, sir. Well, we'll let you take over.
All right.
Deb Finan, the mayor of Champaign, she's waiting out in our lobby. We got speakers outside, by the way, now. People can hear us on the street, so that's kind of cool. And we'll talk to the youngsters over at the U of I and let you handle it. I'll be back tomorrow morning at 9.
So thanks much.
Have a good hour.
Go influence.
All right. Scott Beatty will be with you at the top of the next hour. The news is next from CBS News. Thanks for being with me here this first hour. Scott continues the show after the news on WDWS Champaign-Urbana at The Tone, 10 o'clock Central Time.
It's the second hour of A Penny for Your Thoughts with Brian Barnhart on News Talk 1400 WDWS. You can reach out to us on the phone at 217-356-9397, email talk at WDWS.com, or text on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line 217-351-5357. Filling in for Brian this morning is Scott Beatty.
Welcome in, everybody, to the second hour of A Penny for Your Thoughts. And what happened to Brian? Well, if you weren't with us in the first hour, Brian had a planned exit here. And he is off to speak to some young aspiring broadcast students to, I don't know if he's going to try to persuade them to do something else or not. No, I'm just kidding. He had this plan, so I'm here to finish out the program with you and glad to be doing it here on a sunny Wednesday afternoon. And our guest here for much of the second hour is the mayor of Champaign, Deb Frank Finan, who's with us. Normally, you'd be with me on the news hour this afternoon, but you were gracious enough to join me here so we can have a little more extended conversation. Appreciate it.
Well, thanks for inviting me.
And back fun. Back from vacation, too?
Today. Well, today's my first day back, yes.
Oh, so we'll just throw you into the fire right here.
Right.
And hey, if you've got a question for the mayor, you certainly can join us 356-9397. And the Castle Heating and Cooling text line is 351-5357. You probably heard now, if you want to take a vacation now to Charlotte, North Carolina, you can get a direct flight starting in December through American Airlines. Some welcome news, I imagine, after hearing that United is backing out.
It is. You know, we having air service is really important for our community, and having, you know, direct flights is always a bonus. I think we're all used to, you know, going through other larger places, but you know, we've got a lot of people who travel that direction, so I think it's good news. Probably like many people in Champaign-Urbana area, most of my mileage is on American because I fly out of here, and that's what we've got. So having the ability to get to other places more easily is always great.
I know Charlotte's a hub for American, but it gives you a flight that goes directly east instead of up to Chicago or down to Dallas. I don't know that the draw is Charlotte itself, although that's a really growing metropolitan area, but it makes it easier to connect from Charlotte to a lot of other places, particularly on the East Coast, I imagine.
I agree, but I also do think we've got people who travel in that direction, you know, people with vacation homes or second homes, and so, you know, for them it's going to be a really nice bonus.
Yeah, I'm wishing there was the flight right now to go out to the Outer Banks or something instead of waiting till December. How did that United news hit you? Did it take you off guard? Because when I last filled in on this program, I think about a month ago, I had Gene Cossey on, and we were talking about it's been a year since United started, and it's going great. And then it was not too long after United said, whoop, we're done.
Yeah, you know, I was actually with Gene on the Champaign County first trip right before that was announced. And one of the things that we were talking to our elected officials about in Washington, D.C., related to the pilot shortage and the impact that that has on smaller airports. So it was unexpected, no doubt. And I think the numbers for United locally were good and growing. At least that's, you know, what Gene was talking about. But he was very clear that the pilot shortage was impacting smaller airports and had some suggestions to lawmakers for what they could do to try to, you know, get more pilots available. And so when it happened, although totally unexpected, within the realm of what the background I already had, it wasn't totally surprising.
Yeah. So we'll see if, you know, Governor Rauner, one of the things he said is he's going to try and get United back. Does he have any influence there? Do you as a mayor or Diane Marlin? I mean, it seems to me it's just comes down to business and supply and demand and availability of pilots. Is there anything from a legislative or policy way you can get them back?
I don't think from a city perspective we have legislative tools that would help. I mean, we have done various things as a community.
Do you know how to fly?
Flights and no, but we have some people locally who do.
Yeah.
But you know, I don't know what the governor's connections are and whether, you know, he can make phone calls and, you know, kind of lean on some people. And I don't know, I guess, what might be available at the state level for legislation. I don't think you can require a company to, you know, be in business in a particular community. So I don't know what exactly he is thinking he would be able to do. But, you know, a phone call is certainly welcome. Anything that might help, we're happy to have that happen.
356-9397 is the number you can call to talk to us, not to talk to United, but if you want to do that too, go ahead. But anyway, Tim is on the phone with us from Champaign. Good morning, Tim. You're on with the mayor, Deb Finan.
Good morning, Mrs. Finan. My question to you is there any grants for home restoration in the Sesquicentennial neighborhood? And what would it be? And also, what is the timeline for the demolition of the YMCA and the movement of maybe the Christian Scientist Church, it going down and moving the house to the west of that? And that's a lot of questions to answer, but that hopefully that's still a protected neighborhood. And when that happens, that will change the neighborhood. And I'll hang up to listen to your answers. Thank you.
Thank you, Tim, for your question. Was he referring to Burnham? Or?
I think so. So I'll start with that one. That's actually a school district question, but I did read the News Gazette yesterday. And I believe that there is an August deadline for the movement of the Burnham House with a July deadline embedded in there to have the lot available where it's going to be moved to. With respect to the other buildings, I believe the Christian Science Church is going to be used in some capacity for Central students during construction. So it may be one of the last structures that go down. Although that again would be better posed to a school district. As for the other ones, I think it all would depend on the construction timeline for Unit 4. They have a really good website that gives you information about the construction. And Elizabeth Stegmeier at Unit 4 is the person that you would need to contact. With respect to grants for refurbishing in the Sesquicentennial neighborhood, I don't know of anything specific for that particular neighborhood. But we do have various programs that are available through neighborhood services. So if you have something specific you're looking at doing, depending on income and the house and things like that, you may be able to qualify for one of those programs. So I would encourage you to call our neighborhood services department to see if there's, you know, some work that you want to do on your house in that neighborhood.
Thanks for the call, Tim, at 356-9397. You can also text us on the Castle Heating and Cooling text line 351-5357. And speaking of historic and development, you know, a lot of development going on here in downtown, midtown, all that, and we can get more into that. But is there any concern that a sense of history is being lost in Champaign at all, or a historic look to it? Towns have to turn over. I mean, that's just part of what happens. But is there any concern out there for that?
Well, I think it's clear that there's concern in the community about that, and there are, you know, neighbors who have certainly raised those issues. There are no historic districts that I'm aware of in Champaign, so there's nothing really on the books that would prevent that turnover. And even as I understand it, even if you are in a historic district, it wouldn't prevent you from doing things with your house. You just have to go through some additional steps. So, you know, I think as a community, we have to decide what, you know, sort of where that line lies between preserving the historic and being able to continue to move forward with progress, particularly when you look at Central High School. You know, this community voted to keep it in Central Champaign, and that talks a lot about what our values are. The plan includes retaining the historic pieces of Central High School. So, you know, they're not leveling that building and starting over, but rather reusing, you know, that historic building. And so, you know, when you do a massive building project in infill, there are other things that get impacted. And so for me, I try to focus on the benefit of we are maintaining Central High School, which is really important for this community.
All right, back to the phones. A regular caller to the program is Tiny. Good morning, Tiny. You're on with the mayor of Champaign.
Thank you. Thank you. I read in the paper last night where there's 650 homeless children that are registered in these schools. Now, I don't know whether that was Urbana or Champaign, but I think it was both. And I'm wondering, since we're always taking care of everybody here, and how come we've got 650 homeless children going to school being made fun of? Women that are trying to take care of them can't. The city, the churches, and everybody should be up in arms over this situation. How do you feel about it?
All right, thanks, Tiny.
Well, I agree that homelessness for everybody, including children, is a problem. The family shelter was opened as a, you know, in conjunction with many groups that work together, including City of Champaign and United Way. The Housing Authority continues to look at these issues. Danielle Chenoweth, who is township supervisor in Cunningham Township and also on the Housing Authority Board, has been very active. It's going to take a concerted effort from many different people. It's not just government, but it's our social services agencies as well as churches. And so, you know, it continues to be something we strive to do better at.
Thanks for the call. Let's go back to the lines. This is Don. Good morning, Don. You're on with Mayor Finan.
Hey, good morning. How you doing, Mayor?
Good morning.
I'm just curious. I noticed there's going to be road construction out of North Prospect over the highway there. And I'm just curious. I mean, when are they going to start on any of the main roads through town? Like, I mean, Bradley, Springfield, Duncan. I mean, I could go on and on. They are in, terrible shape. Terrible shape. I mean, I thought gaming and the stimulus package and all that. I mean, I understand doing that on North Prospect, but I mean, what about people that ain't going out to the mall? You know, I mean, these roads are bad.
So,
thanks, Don.
We have a 10-year capital improvement plan, which is available that you can look at and see kind of where the roads specifically that you're interested in are on our plan. We do have some additional money for arterial roads because you may remember oh gosh, about a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago, we raised the hotel motel tax, and part of that money is going to arterial roads. The backlog is large, I agree. Some of the roads you named, though, are also state routes that we don't have control over. Some of them, like Bradley, we actually have done a section of Bradley since I've been on council, kind of near Parkland and going toward Mattis. So that was done fairly recently, but it's expensive and time consuming. So we continue to chip away at it and work within our capital improvements plan, which tries to, you know, rank the most needy roads so that it's not subject to political pull of, you know, I want this one done. We have a method, and our staff really works on making sure that we're working on the ones that are the worst first.
Mayor Finan from the city of Champaign is with us. I want to circle back to something that maybe feels like it's in the rearview mirror now, but I had a chance to ask Diane Marlin last week about the visit from Governor Rauner. So for you as well, after his controversial comments pointed at Champaign-Urbana on a Chicago radio station, drew a lot of ire from folks around here. Was the governor's visit here and his apology satisfactory to you?
I think that we have to accept his apology. He not only apologized to us in Washington, D.C., but he, on a very short turnaround, came to our community to apologize here. I think the devil is in the details. He said some things about commitments to this community, to the campus here at Champaign-Urbana, and made it clear that part of the $500 million that has come to the University of Illinois for Discovery Partners Institute will be spent. And he actually said a substantial portion. Well, we need to see what that is and what the plan is. He also committed that resources and faculty from this campus would not be used to, you know, support and fund DPI up in Chicago, that it would be a separate institution. So, you know, we need to see what will happen. He committed himself to high-speed rail, which our Champaign County First Group has been working on lobbying for many, many years. We realize it's the long game, but it would be really transformative for this area to have. And so, you know, I remain hopeful that the governor will follow through with the things that he mentioned. And I love the opportunity to show our community off to the governor and his staff and to make sure that he knew what a gem we are.
In the end of it, was he mistaken? Did he speak? What happened? I mean,
I think what he, and I, you know, I don't want to speak for him. He certainly spoke for himself. And I don't want to apologize for him because for our community, it was really devastating to hear that. But, you know, what he said at the press conference was that he was trying to make reference to the fact that it can be harder in small communities to grow businesses and create jobs just because of the size of the community, that those communities also have other things that are beneficial, you know, lower taxes and less traffic and lots of really nice people. And he picked Champaign-Urbana as that example. And I am hopeful that his trip here made him realize that Champaign-Urbana doesn't really fit the small community mode. You know, we certainly are not Chicago size-wise, but with what we are doing here, I would venture to say that we could stand on our own as compared to Chicago. When you look at the research at the University of Illinois, when you look at the other non-tech businesses that are here and the people who are here, we are the only growing city in the state of Illinois. So he picked the wrong city.
Okay. We're going to have some more with the mayor when we come back on the other side of news. I know you've got another commitment to get to, but we have a few more minutes with you, and we appreciate of it. So if you've got calls or texts for Mayor Finan, you can certainly do that. We'll come back, though, with local news here on A Penny for Your Thoughts right after this. Welcome back into the final quarter of A Penny for Your Thoughts. I'm Scott Beatty filling in for Brian Barnhart. This was a planned substitution. Brian is fine. He started the show, but he just couldn't finish it. But that's all right. He's off to influence and inspire young journalists, young broadcasters to be. And so I'm filling in along with Deb Finan, the mayor of Champaign. You're not really filling in. You're a guest, but, you know. Yeah,
but, you know. Brian hasn't invited me. Actually, I think maybe he has. I wasn't in town and able to do it, but, so I'm kidding. But yes, happily a guest.
Yeah, great to have you here. I wanted to circle back, and we just have a few more minutes with the mayor. So if you have a question for her in City Matters, 356-9397 or the Castle Heating and Cooling text line 351-5357. We were talking about Governor Rauner and his visit, and he felt that there were some good steps made there towards repairing whatever needs to be repaired after his comments. But it's an election year. You care to weigh in on the governor's race? Do you feel...
No, we're nonpartisan at the city of Champaign.
But you have, you know, governors impact the city. And
no doubt.
But
you know, from a city perspective, we will work with whoever gets elected, right?
So you stay away from
in my official capacity. You know, what I do in my personal life is a different matter. But I think I'm on in my official capacity today.
I agree. Okay, fair enough. Wanted to also, you know, immigration is back in the midst of things, and there's been rallies against ICE, Immigration and Customs Enforcement, going on. Is there anything you can speak to on the relationship the city has with ICE? Urbana has been a bit more forthright in how they are viewing things with immigration and how they view ICE. Is there anything you can speak to on the relationship the city has with ICE or you would like to see differently?
Well, I think the reality is, and I've talked to our police chief and we've issued a couple statements over the last couple of years, and I've also looked at a letter from the sheriff's department. Urbana-Champaign and the county are all acting the same. All of our law enforcement, you know, responds in the same way relating to ICE. And so there's really, you know, nothing different in how Urbana handles it than Champaign. And, you know, Champaign and Urbana are both part of the WISE New American Welcoming Center. We believe very strongly that this community is welcoming to immigrants. We believe that immigrants are an important fabric and a piece of this community, you know, not only at the University of Illinois, but wherever they are found within our community. We are multicultural here, and it's really important that everyone feels safe in their home community, and I support that.
Yeah, it's not quite the same issues that are going on down in Texas
at
the moment.
It is not. And I believe that those are really what the rallies are about, relating to, you know, children being separated. And, you know, I think that actually I saw something on a news feed that there's another court case today ordering that there be, you know, more faster. Nice language. Faster reunification, you know, now that it's not being allowed. So, and I am hopeful that that is happening as quickly as possible.
Benny texts in. He says, good morning, Mayor. If you decide to run for governor, you have my vote.
And, you know, I think and I know that this is the Benny that I went to high school with and loved dearly. So thank you, Benny.
All right. Back across of Wright Street. This will be at least our second Urbana call for the mayor of Champaign. Good morning, Brian. You're on with Mayor Deb Finan.
Hello, Mayor.
Hello.
I'd like to ask you about your mother, Linda Frank. How's she doing?
Well, what a nice question. She's doing great. She is still living in our community. She works at Urban Gardens, which is on South Prospect, and right now they've got a ton of flowers. They've also got cucumbers. I'll give them a little plug. And so she spends her days during the summer gardening and putting together flower bouquets and playing with grandchildren and traveling, and she is happy and content.
You know, she was one of my favorite politicians in Champaign-Urbana, and it was my pleasure to to work at Republican headquarters and help her to get reelected. She was always very nice and very a pleasure to work for.
Well, I really appreciate it, and I know that she does too. I know that for her, those community connections and the, you know, the people that were a part of all of those years of public service are really what she treasures about the time that she spent as circuit clerk.
Too bad she's not still in the game. We could really use her.
I appreciate that. Although I would say, as far as circuit clerks go, I think Katie Blakeman is pretty amazing. And when you look at the things that she is doing to automate that office, and also the work on the expungement fair, Katie's knocking it out of the park. So it was nice for my mom to be able to turn that office over to someone that she trusted and that she knew would continue to move things forward.
Thanks, Brian, for calling in. Want to keep it moving here because I know, Mayor, you've got to make another appointment. Here is Dave in Champaign. Good morning, Dave. You're on with the mayor.
Hey, thank you. Mayor, do mayors, Illinois mayors, participate in IMRF, or what pension fund do they have?
Yes, we are part of IMRF.
Do you pay into Social Security?
I do pay into Social Security.
As mayor?
I don't believe that I do as mayor. I do as I'm a lawyer in real life. And so, you know, mayor in Champaign is part-time.
So when you retire, will your Social Security benefits be penalized through the windfall elimination provision?
I don't know the answer to that. I am a little bit away from retirement, and I have not explored that at all. So I apologize, but I don't know the answer. I am sure that the city's HR or our budget department would be able to answer that for you.
Thanks for the call, Dave. Speaking of all that, this morning, maybe they're still meeting, I don't know, the Compensation Task Force for Council
yes.
is meeting, and I assume they look at council and mayor compensation pay and all that and benefits, and are you getting a raise?
I don't think so.
Should council get a raise? Or?
You know,
I don't know what goes into all that, you know.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know, because they met this morning, what the task force has recommended to council, and I don't know what council's thought on it will be. But generally, this is not a job that people do because of the salary. You know, council, I believe, is at about $5,000, which does not compensate for the time that is involved, but it, you know, it helps to defray costs, I would say. And with respect to the mayor's salary, you know, it's a part-time position yeah. in the city of Champaign. So really, the salary and the increases go to the city manager and the other staff that are working full-time, keeping our city running.
Yeah. You're not a full-time mayor. Diane Marlin in Urbana is. Scott Eisenhower over in Danville is, at least for now. They're exploring going to other ways. But most communities, I don't know if that's true. Most communities have part-time mayors. Is that?
I don't know the answer statewide. I should. It's a mix. When I go to U.S. Conference of Mayors, I'm always amazed that even like large cities like Austin, Texas, is a city manager form of government. Now, their mayor is also full time. He is not. He doesn't have the same authority like Diane Marlin, but he is at the mayor's job full time.
Is it a big challenge to balance your regular work, so to speak, and as an attorney and the mayoral duties?
It is. The benefit that I have, though, in being and owning my own business, being a partner at the law firm, is that I can choose to be on the radio at 10 o'clock in the morning and, you know, schedule my appointments around that, or work on things in the evening at home to make that work. And so I would be lying if I said it was easy, but it's also incredibly rewarding, and it's certainly worth the effort. I absolutely love being mayor of the city of Champaign.
Yeah. Well, we really appreciate you spending some time here with us and taking some calls too. And I know Brian will be glad to have you.
I know. So. He's invited me. I'm teasing.
Yeah. So, thanks for your help here. I'll talk with you again on the News Hour next month. So.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Thanks a lot. That's Bye-bye. Mayor Deb Finan from the city of Champaign. We step aside for a moment. We've got an open line the rest of the way. Anything on your mind related to local city matters or national as well? We'll welcome them when we come back on A Penny for Your Thoughts.
Get caught up on the latest local news, sports, and weather on the DWS News Hour presented by ABC Heating and Air. Join us this afternoon at 4 here on News Talk 1400.
Penny, for your thoughts, I'm Scott Beatty. Thanks for being with us this morning. We really do appreciate it. I've got you here to the top of the hour. Blake Landa is filling in for Ed Bond, our producer-engineer. And I'm filling in here for Brian Barnhart. He is back tomorrow. He's going to be talking to Mark Chagnon, among others. You probably heard of Mark's name around here, a motivational speaker, among some other things. We're watching, keeping tabs on Kevin Anderson in the quarterfinals of Wimbledon. And Roger Federer has just gone ahead in the decisive set, 7-6. So Anderson has to keep pace here. Has to win the next game or it'll be a match over, but pretty impressive for the former Illini to take one of the world's greatest to a fifth set in the quarterfinals at Wimbledon. Well, you've been hearing us talk about Woods basement systems for some years now. Since 1986, the Woods family has helped over 55,000 homeowners. Are there cracks showing up in your basement or your crawl space, the foundation of your walls of your home? What's lurking in that dirt crawl space? If you see a crack, it's a problem. Mold, pests of all types, they can get in there, especially in these warm, humid months when the air conditioner is running. You should call the area's highest rated, most reviewed contractor, Woods Basement Systems. Those crawl space cracks, they let water leak into your crawl space. Most of that water gets trapped on top of the vapor barrier too, and it evaporates up and into your home. That's what mold will feast on. So protect your home, your investment. Get your free estimate from Woods and fix those basement and crawl space cracks once and for all. There's signs of all kinds of problems. If you see cracks found inside on drywall or outside the masonry, and they are the entrance point for all kinds of problems into your home. Woods Basement System, give them a call, 888-935-4333, or visit them online at woodsbasementsystems.com. If you want to weigh in here on an open line, you can certainly do that. We are here with you for the rest of the hour and can circle back on to the Supreme Court nominee or any other issues of the day. President Trump is abroad weighing in, working with the European leaders there. So those are some of the topics of the day. Of course, locally, we've learned that American Airlines is adding a flight to Charlotte, North Carolina, out of Willard. That's big news, especially on the heels of United Airlines leaving Willard Airport. American Airlines is the only choice right now if you want to fly somewhere commercially out of Champaign-Urbana. Now they'll have three destinations, Chicago, Dallas, and Charlotte. And those are all big deals because those are the places that connect you to the other places you want to go. So I don't think there's too many of us that are flying directly to Chicago just to get to Chicago. It's almost, I'm going up Chicago all the time. I have family up there. It's almost as easy just to drive to Chicago itself. But when it comes to flying, it's really nice to have a local place to fly out of here and then just connect through Chicago. You don't have to deal with the hassle of driving up and parking and all of the long security lines that you get up there in Chicago. So another option now to go east is a pretty big deal. Came across this today. Did you know that the original symbolism of the Statue of Liberty had nothing to do with welcoming immigrants? And that Mount Rushmore was built to lure road trippers to South Dakota? That's part of the inside story on those iconic places in the United States, and along with others, Jeffrey Bear will host a PBS television series called 10 That Changed America. There will be three new episodes airing this summer. In addition to the backstory of famous monuments, other episodes focus on streets that changed America, like New York's Broadway, and on modern marvels like the Hoover Dam. Bear is based up in Chicago. He works for their local PBS affiliate up there, WTTW, and gives tours for the Chicago Architecture Foundation as well. Pretty interesting. I actually seen a couple of folks posting recently of going out to right in front of Mount Rushmore. It's quite the thing out there on the west side of South Dakota, western half of it. Didn't know the Statue of Liberty had nothing to do with welcoming immigrants. It's usually remembered or thought about as, you know, it's, you know, something that, especially as immigrants came into Ellis Island, you would see that statue kind of welcoming you in. I do remember it was a gift from Paris, gift from the French government, as I recall. Well, these are some of the things that are going on here today, and we certainly welcome anything you want to weigh in on. You know, of course, the Supreme Court nominee is still very much being talked about right now as Brett Kavanaugh is meeting with senators. What direction is this going to go? You know, when President Obama nominated Merrick Garland to the Supreme Court, the Senate didn't take it up. And many felt that they should have. Others felt like they shouldn't have because it was an election year. I felt they should have. I thought that was the appropriate thing to do. And I think it's the appropriate thing here, too, with this nominee for the Supreme Court. I don't think it really matters that it's a midterm election year. I think that's what the Senate is charged with doing, is taking up the nominee and deciding yay or nay. And certainly the timing of it is when it happened. That was at the discretion, I guess, of Anthony Kennedy on when he wanted to resign. How do you see it, though? Is it a midterm year and, hey, the Senate should set it aside? Doesn't seem like that's the direction it's going to go with all this kind of momentum pointing towards these meeting with senators. It looks like they're going to take it up. So, you know, my thought is be consistent. If it's an election year and you're not, and everybody feels you shouldn't take it up during an election year, then don't take it up during an election year. But if you do think you should take it up during an election year, then do it in both ways. And it seems that, both sides like to do the self-serving sometimes in all this. You know, they like to say, well, under the idea of this is what's best for us, you know, because it's an election year, we shouldn't take this up. But it's also self-serving at the same time if you're from the opposing party of the president's party that is making the nomination. But maybe you have a different thought on that. We have a few moments left here to weigh in. Penny, for your thoughts, we're back to wrap this up in a moment.
Hi, this is Jim Bohannon. Join us for the next Bohannon Show. Reporter Mark Ambinder has written The Brink, President Reagan and the Nuclear War Scare of 1983. Tonight at 9 on DWS.
Penny, for your thoughts on DWS this morning, I'm Scott Beatty. We're coming up here onto the finish line. Brian is back again tomorrow to take you for the rest of the week. I'm back with you this afternoon for the DWS News Hour. That's every day at 4 o'clock. We get CBS News, local news, sports, weather, and guests as well. 5 o'clock, I will have you with Sports Talk along with Matt Daniels. So looking forward to that. We'll catch up on the topics of the day, Roger Federer and Kevin Anderson. Kevin Anderson came back, tied the decisive fifth set at 7-all, but Federer just took the last game, and he is now up 8-7. And I believe in the fifth set in Wimbledon, you no tiebreakers. You just go till somebody is up two games, and then it is over. But what a heroic effort here by Kevin Anderson, once down two sets to none, and he lost that second set in a tiebreak as well. So we'll see what happens here as they play at center court, or is it the number one court at Wimbledon. Didn't know this about drones. I saw a note here that the first transatlantic flight by a medium altitude, long endurance, unmanned aircraft has lifted off from an aviation park in North Dakota. The General Atomics Aeronautical Systems drone departed from the Grand Sky Park at the Grand Forks Air Force Base yesterday, and the flight is going more than 3,000 miles before landing in England in Gloucestershire, where the Royal Air Force is holding its centennial celebration. The aircraft is, if you want to get the nitty-gritty on this, is an MQ-9B Predator, which is 38 feet long with a wingspan of 79 feet. The plane recently flew continuously for more than 48 hours. I guess I'd never even thought about what drones are capable of. I mean, you know they're up there, but Didn't know they could fly 3,000 miles, that they could stay up in the sky continuously for 48 hours. That is pretty impressive. And this note, speaking of England, a distillery in England has apologized after developing a 75% proof vodka named after the toxic nerve agent Novichok. Bristol Digen advertised the product on its Facebook page over the weekend. 3 days after exposure to the nerve agent killed one person and made another one critically ill in the town of Amesbury. In a statement, the company Bristol Digen said Novichok Edition has been in development for some time, but that admittedly the timing of the release of this product may have lacked sensitivity. Well, yeah, you think? Well, that's going to about wrap things up here on Penny. I'm Scott Beatty, filling in here on the second half of the program for Brian. He's back again tomorrow. Our thanks to Deb Finan, the mayor of Champaign, for being our guest. Early in the program, Will Brumlevy talked a bit with Brian about the fish kill up in Loda, and we had an open line as well. Thanks for everybody for calling in today. Brian is back tomorrow. By the way, our Penny for Your Thoughts programs, our podcasts at our website, wdws.com. You can always go back and listen to past episodes, and sometimes we pull out select interviews as well, and you can listen to those. You can also find us on iTunes. If you're listening that way, take a moment and rate us there. It always helps us out. Thanks a lot. Brian's back tomorrow. The news is next, and then Rush. It's News Talk 1400 WDWS Champaign-Urbana, a News Gazette media station.